All right, Sean, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers, sponsored by Alkalite. Guess I'm supposed to drink it.
Absolutely.
I have a mocktail, so I'm not drinking right now, but you have a nice little Wednesday afternoon tequila soda.
It's noon on Wednesday. You gotta do what you gotta do.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Exactly.
All right, well, let's get into it. So you are obviously like family to me. So for those of you that don't know, probably 99% of the people, Sean's a little brother, one of my very best college friends, Jenny, and college roommates. And it's kind of funny seeing you like as a full-blown adult now. I don't know, in my mind you were always just a little brother, and now you're a founder and endurance athlete and all these things, which we'll talk about today. So why don't you tell the audience, beyond just Jenny's little brother, who the heck you are and what we're gonna be talking about today?
So I'm Sean. I'm the founder of Alklight. We create electrolyte infused cocktail mixes, and our whole ethos is cheers today, conquer tomorrow. So we're really trying to create products and a brand that help people balance having fun and letting loose with fitness, health and wellness, and being high achievers.
So let's back up, because obviously, and I know, like, you started this for a reason based on your own personal, like, pain, if you will, or just like feeling the market gap in your own life. Why did you decide to start Alkalite, and like, tell us about your background?
I guess I'll just start from the beginning. I started drinking in high school, and kind of
I don't think you're supposed to
with
say that on the internet, but.
well, just being real. I was the youngest, so older sister Jenny, and then I had an older brother too. And so I'd kind of been introduced to, I guess, like the party lifestyle early on. And then I also played football in high school and was always really into fitness. I started working out and weightlifting when I was 13. And so there had always kind of been a tension between those two things because they're obviously a little bit antagonistic to one another. And that kind of all came to a point in 2021, which was my junior year at Cornell. I started getting into endurance sports because COVID ended the whole gym thing for a while. And I was training for marathons and Ironmans while also living in my fraternity house. And basically, Alkalite just came from a personal effort to balance this hardcore marathon and Ironman training with living a party lifestyle. And so I just started mixing electrolytes, water, and like the plastic handle vodka that you have in
That's
college.
actually horrifying for a lot of
It
reasons, but
started out initially as just
this was your senior year?
this was my junior year at Cornell,
It's
so
junior year and you're still drinking out of plastic handles.
yeah, I guess we don't mature quick over there. But
You're too busy studying.
something like that, maybe. But so I mean, it actually started out with just water and the plastic handle vodka, which was not that didn't last very long, obviously. So then I added electrolytes just mainly to try to increase the taste, and obviously I thought it might have some effect on the day after. I didn't really know much about the science of it at that point. And I started noticing I was able to, feel better on like my 15-mile runs that I would do on a Sunday after staying out till midnight or 1 a.m. the night before. So then I just started kind of on my own making these drinks, which I deemed Alkalite at the time. And all my friends were getting galvanized by the idea and asking me to make them drinks. So slowly I thought maybe there could be a business here. I started learning more about like the science of hangover prevention and what actually goes into a hangover, like physiologically. And I realized like there's actual science behind why electrolytes would work to help. And so over the course of the year, I made a powder prototype with my best friend and roommate at the time, Lucas. And then that was super fun. We just like made that in our college apartment and sold it around campus. We kind of looked like drug dealers because we just had like white powder in our apartment and everything. But I mean, it was packaged in like legit packaging. But so we sold that. It was very fun senior year business to have, as you can imagine. But we weren't really scaling beyond just the Cornell campus. And then after graduation, took the learnings from that and realized the liquid concentrate is just a way better version of the product, which is what we have now here. And Lucas went to law school. We had a clean break. He's still one of my best friends here in LA. He just couldn't balance the two. And so that spurred me to invite someone I connected with earlier who's a food scientist and had worked in the industry for about 10 years at various food companies. And so he helped me, he joined the team as a co-founder. His name's Andrew, and he helped create the current iteration of the product, the liquid concentrate. For people listening, it's basically like a Mio type of packaging and delivery mechanism. And we spent some hours creating the product in December. We were in a commercial kitchen and made it. And then we launched just at the beginning of this year in January with our website, and are now starting to put some money into marketing beyond just family and friends. So definitely still the beginning, and it's been a long and windy road, but it's a project very near and dear to my heart, because obviously it comes from a very genuine need, and hopefully it'll help others find a little more balance too.
So were you always an electrolyte fan, like at that point of your endurance athletic career journey, if you will? Were you already taking electrolytes or not really?
No, not really. So Jenny, my sister, actually introduced me to them. I didn't really know the importance of them. I guess to highlight that and to highlight the importance of electrolytes, my first marathon, I had no idea what I was doing. I was literally running with like running shoes that were 5 years old and had like there was a hole in the bottom of one.
Did you train?
I trained, yeah, but like not smart. Like I ran a marathon myself the week before just to like make sure I could do it, which if anyone knows anything about training for marathons, that's not how you're supposed to go about it.
So I think people are going to walk away this episode with like a lot of conclusions. One is that apparently you're just a freak athlete and just show up and run marathons. So maybe your other friends need the help from alkaline way more than you do.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm a freak athlete, but I would just say I sometimes can go to the extremes, I guess. But yeah, so I ran that. It was one of the hottest days of the year, and I didn't know anything about electrolytes or nutrition for endurance training. And so I was sweating a ton, as you can imagine, and just drinking a ton of water. And that basically causes a massive electrolyte imbalance because you're not taking in any sodium or other electrolytes are basically sodium, potassium, magnesium, calcium. There's also phosphate and chloride and a couple other more esoteric ones, but those are the main ones. And I wasn't taking in any of those. And so I finished, but I don't remember like the last 10 to 15 minutes of the marathon, like completely blacked out of my memory. And I came to like in a grass field with all my family and friends around me. And I like looked down with my medal and I was like, oh, whoa, I finished. Like it was quite the experience. So it really drilled to me the importance of electrolytes, because obviously that's at the extreme, but like, it basically seemed like it put me on the brink of like consciousness, maybe even like a life-threatening situation. Now I know there is like actual risk to running marathons and having sodium levels drop really aggressively. So
you weren't doing the goos or like the energy chews or anything really like that?
They had them like at the table, so I would just like eat them kind of randomly, but I wasn't like, now after that experience, like I'm so dialed now when I do my endurance training with all nutrition and everything like that. But I guess at that point it was kind of just like sign up and see what happens. And so I learned the hard way a little bit for sure, but that definitely drilled the importance of electrolytes for me. And so from that point on, I understood they were important and realized how critical they are just to like basically every human bodily function, because obviously that's at the extreme where, you know, like you're losing consciousness, but even at the acute scales, it'll affect cognition, mood, give you muscle cramps, nausea. It basically affects like every major organ system in the body and your nervous system. And so now that I'm like aware of that, I'm pretty in tune with when they're out of whack. And so drinking especially was one of the areas where it would throw me out of whack and mess up my training, and brings me back to alkaline. So
it's pretty crazy. I had a couple episodes back, had a functional nutritionist on the show, and she's really big on minerals and electrolytes. And that was kind of the first time I'd gotten introduced to it and had become conscious of it, from adding like trace minerals to my water to actually doing the electrolyte powders. My boyfriend Troy is now like super into electrolytes, and he has them every single morning, and it's like really changed his. He's always been, you know, a football player, a weightlifter. Yeah. Like, it's really changed his athletic performance for the better. So it's kind of interesting. I think the best way I heard someone describe it, because I still like my mom, for example, or like my parents, like still weren't really understanding, like, what's the point? Like, mom's like, well, let's just add a bunch of salt, like sodium. I'm already like, I don't want more sodium. Like, why would I want, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like people, especially maybe like our parents' generations, are kind of afraid of like sodium levels or salt levels or things like that. So yeah. It's kind of like trying to help them understand. But the way I heard someone describe it is it's either like watering a field, like watering crops, or like irrigating them. And when you're mm-hmm. irrigating them, you're just flushing out like yeah. everything. And like yeah. the same can happen for your body. So when you see like, I don't know, I feel like it's a very common, like almost more like a bodybuilding, like weightlifter style trend where everyone has these giant water bottles where they're just like constantly pounding water.
Mm-hmm.
It one, based on the fact it's like not super comfortable to like have to pee that much too. Yeah. It's like, it's irrigating your body, which I thought was so interesting. Cause I think we've been taught to think more water is better. And like your example, you were probably drinking a lot of water in your marathon, but it was, that was not that was doing anything.
Actually counterproductive too, because it's flushing out more electrolytes. So yeah, 100%. I think there's been some good messaging now, and I feel like there's kind of a case for sodium coming, because it's definitely been demonized, like you said, in our parents' generation and stuff. But the truth is, like, getting an accurate amount of sodium for your needs is going to be like one of the best things you could do just for like your daily function and mood. And definitely, if anyone's ever felt the effects of low sodium, like that feeling I had during the marathon when I was super hyponatremic, is the term for when you're low on sodium, like, was probably the worst I've ever felt physically. And I've done other physical challenges that we could talk about later, but like, that was probably the worst I've ever felt. So it's definitely something to obviously prevent at all cases at the extreme level, but like at an acute level can make a pretty massive difference just in terms of how you feel and your ability to perform like day-to-day tasks.
Yeah, and talk to us a little bit about, you said once you started learning about this, you dove pretty deep into mm-hmm. the science of hangovers and hangover prevention. Like, walk us through what causes a hangover, what is it, and then what have you learned helps to improve?
Yeah, so I think the first thing in thinking about hangover is to not think of it as like one single pathology or issue. It's kind of a combination of a bunch of different things happening at once in your body. So I'll start just with what we just talked about, obviously, electrolyte and dehydration issues. So alcohol causes, one, you to have issues with your hormone system, specifically vasopressin, and or it's also known as anti-diuretic hormone. And so this causes disruptions in your electrolyte and fluid balance. And then also just like the sheer volume of liquid you're intaking when you're drinking will also cause issues, just because you're not usually sitting around chugging like three waters, where you might chug like three seltzers or something at a pregame. And people might experience this like in the moment as peeing a little more or something when they're drinking. So those two combined effects of just taking in more fluid and the actual hormonal effects is mainly what drives the electrolyte imbalance. And that can happen even with just like one to two drinks. So that's a big one. And then there's also the effects on the gut microbiome and the gut in general. So alcohol, as we know, kills bacteria. That's why people back in the day used to put it on wounds and stuff like that. And so when you ingest alcohol, it's going to kill your beneficial gut bacteria. And then it can also transiently cause like leaky gut, where bad bacteria in your gut can get into the bloodstream and cause inflammation. And so obviously people are, I guess not everyone, but a lot of people experience GI issues after drinking. And that's a big part of that. Something that I've heard that I don't think there's any science specifically supporting, like studying this specifically, but it leads to reason that taking in fermented foods and doing generally things to support your gut microbiome when you're not drinking, and especially after you drink, is going to help offset this. And then the third big area is sleep. Alcohol, like even one drink being in your system will radically disrupt your sleep. And the more you drink, the more it'll disrupt your sleep. So, you know, things you could do to offset this that I've done, that I've incorporated into my lifestyle, is just try to like day drink and then taper off at night so that you have less alcohol circulating in your system when you actually go to sleep. But you kind of have to just play around with it, because that's definitely a big side of like the mental aspect of the hangover. And trying to think if there's anything else I'm missing.
So it can cause like hormonal disruptions, which is what? Like you said antidiuretic. Does that mean?
Yes. Guess,
what does that mean?
So the dehydration aspect specifically, vasopressin or antidiuretic hormone basically regulates your water retention and excretion. And so disruption is that is going to cause your fluid balance and electrolyte balance, obviously, to get out of whack. So it's a combination of that with excessive fluid intake, at least more than usual, that causes the electrolyte and dehydration imbalances from alcohol.
Why do we get more puffy, but like we're peeing more?
That's a good question.
Is that something to do with probably like both of those symptoms?
Yeah. So I think, and now I'm just speculating. I'm not like, there's no hard science I'm aware of for this, but.
I stumped you.
But my speculation is that you're messing up the fluid and electrolyte balance, and that in general can just lead to puffiness and like water retention. And two, just generally when you stress your body, like I said, like you're increasing inflammation through the effects on the gut microbiome. I didn't talk about the liver, but also the liver processing alcohol, it changes it from ethanol to basically a benign substance that could be used for energy called acetate. And that process causes inflammation as well. And just generally, when you get more inflamed, your body will retain water and just try to retain resources in general. And so I think that might be a big aspect to it as well. But I'm kind of speculating at that point.
So I think I kind of interrupted you, but I just walk us through your habits or routines, either when you know you're going to be drinking or maybe you end up drinking, and how you make sure that you can optimize that environment so you're still able to perform your best the next day, whether that means a 15-mile run or just like, you know, waking up and being present in your day-to-day life.
Yeah, exactly. It varies between those two. definitely it's a spectrum of 15-mile runs and just having a good day. But I would say the biggest thing is obviously moderation, right? Like the hangover is really just a poison induced damage to various organ systems of your body. And so the biggest way to mitigate that is to moderate your alcohol intake and try to not drink too much, or at least plan out like your schedule of drinking so that you're going to drink when you know you're not going to have a big run or big presentation or work week the next week, something like that. So kind of scheduling out your drinking is something that I found super valuable. So like I'll literally before the month, like think about what weekends I might be drinking and then try to plan things around that to make sure, you know, I'm not going to drink. And then on my like endurance training schedule, I have an 18-mile run the next day that I'm supposed to be doing like at a hard pace or something like that. So I think just a little bit of foresight and moderation is one of the biggest levers you can pull. The other thing is obviously drinking alkalite. So when you have a tequila soda with alkalite, it's basically like the cleanest drink you can have, not to get too salesy, but this is literally why I created it. Just because.
What is alkalite? So tell us like what, beyond that we know it's an electrolyte cocktail mix, what is actually in it?
Yeah.
And I guess I'm also curious to hear about more of the formulation process since I know it's shifted over time.
Yeah. Yeah. So it has the main electrolytes, sodium, potassium, and magnesium, and chloride. And yeah, definitely. And it just, so we have the margarita version here.
Which, so good. I'm drinking it right now in my soda water.
Yeah. We worked hard on the flavor. So I'm glad that that's the general reception. It's basically just sweetened with stevia and has natural flavors. So it's about as clean as like a flavored drink mix can get. And it's basically just meant to mix in with a tequila soda type of drink. So water or sparkling water, tequila, and alkalite. And you transform your tequila soda into a hydrating margarita that's still zero calories. And I feel like everyone knows the feeling of, you know, drinking a bunch of sugary drinks or sugary margs, or like using a soda chaser like Sprite and waking up the next day and just feeling kind of trashed because they're not usually drinking like six sprites or six drinks of like 20 grams of sugar each, you know? So that's, I think that was a big deal for us, was to keep it like, you're essentially just drinking water, tequila, and or your spirit of choice, and electrolytes with a little bit of flavoring. And so it's like as clean as you could possibly get. And then if you want to get even cleaner and go the full route, we developed the unflavored version too, which is literally just electrolytes. And then citric acid is basically just a natural compound found in like oranges and all citrus fruits that helps preserve it and make sure it's safe to consume. And so that is what Alkalite is. And that's kind of how I drink pretty much like 80% of my drinks when I'm out. Because it's kind of the ratio of like Alkalite you're drinking in versus other drinks. You know, if you just have one Alkalite drink and then 15 other drinks, it's probably not going to do much for you. So I try to keep it like 75-80% Alkalite, and then or 100%. But then if like I want to have a couple beers, or if I don't know, there's some reason to drink something else, glass of wine or something, where I might want to just enjoy the taste and not be thinking about squeezing in something.
Nice glass of wine.
yeah exactly. So that is a big part of my routine, obviously. And that the funny part about that is I was doing that before Alkalite was even really like a business. Like I said, like it just kind of spawned from me having big endurance days on Sunday and then drinking on Saturday. And so I was just like, okay, I need to do something to mitigate this. And now I'm stoked that I was able to create a product and actually hopefully help others feel the difference of being on top of your hydration and electrolytes while you drink. And then also like only drinking the cleanest drinks just as a result of that, because it's just tequila and water. And a fun side effect of this too is it generally makes your drunk more fun too, because you like, I feel like a lot of people don't realize they're getting dehydrated while they're drinking, you know, or they're like messing up their electrolyte balance while they're drinking. So while you're actually like a few drinks in, I tend to feel like more energized and feel better from the drunk itself, which is a pretty fun side effect too.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I want to hear more about, because I know I'm going to blank on what the actual like phrase is, but I know one of your core values at Alkalite, like in your different kind of values and mission, is pretty much like not completely eliminating the fun, mm-hmm. or like the lifestyle, if that's something you're aligned to, but just like optimizing it. And so I am curious to hear for you, like why you've chosen not to give up alcohol completely, given that you are also living such a high performance endurance lifestyle, athletic lifestyle, but have chosen to find a way to still fit it in while, you know, doing the best you can to still feel as good as you can in all these other endeavors.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. And I've gone periods, like I've gone like 80, 90 days without alcohol before when I was doing some really intense training for a marathon in 2022. And so like I've tried it out before, and I guess what I come back to is I think obviously alcohol is a poison and it's a very slippery slope. And I want to preface this by saying, if anyone feels like they don't have control over their drinking, like you should just look into going cold turkey, because you know, like it's a very slippery slope, and you don't want to be like pretending like you're balancing it when you're actually just at a point that you can't control it. So I feel like for myself that alcohol helps me, or I would just say is like kind of a facilitator for bonding and relationships in certain social situations. It helps like kind of have fun and relax and lean into life a little bit. And I'm not saying you can't do that without alcohol, but I just find it's kind of a fun way to do that. And I find that if I take the right steps to mitigate the negative effects and treat hangover as this full body kind of a full body like pathology and think about each aspect and mitigate effectively, it doesn't have the big negative effect on my life that I've seen it have before when I didn't have the same approach and was maybe a little more wild like back in college. But I think having a balanced approach is very possible. You just have to be very real with yourself about, you know, how much you're actually drinking, like what your goals are, and then balancing those two things effectively. And it takes work, but I don't think it's, I think alcohol can fit into a healthy lifestyle and a set of ambitious goals. And for other people, I think it also might be a matter of, and even for myself sometimes, saying like, oh, you know, I'm going to stop completely, but then like finding that that's not super realistic based on your social situation. Like I'm 23. A lot of my friends are into the bar scene and going out and drinking and stuff. And so if I can go out and have some fun with them and kind of lean into those nights while not affecting my next day performance and ability, because I'm smart about how I defend against the hangover, then that's something I feel is worthwhile doing. And so it's kind of like, instead of going to the extreme, it's like facing the problem as its whole and taking a balanced approach, I find to be more sustainable for myself.
Yeah, a really big theme that I constantly talk about on the show is sustainable habits and things that are actually going to, I guess, empower you for the long term. And I mean, personally, I feel similarly on different areas you just shared, whereas I have gone through, like, I'm currently not drinking. I go through phases where I just say, like, cold turkey, not because, like, luckily, and I'm very grateful that I've never had any sort of issue with alcohol, but it just is sometimes almost easier. Like, I'm in a little bit of a different stage of life than you. I'm you know, a couple years older. So, like, it's not like it's every weekend we're out at the bars where, you know, that would be, like, really impeding my social life. So sometimes I just almost find it easier to say, like, I'm not drinking at all right now to then... Because I personally just don't really, like, enjoy it anymore. It's really, like, an enjoyable thing. So I think it kind of – everyone's at a different stage of life and in a different, like, personal kind of journey with it. Like, I don't think – I'm never one of those people, and even right now, I don't, like, think, like, no one should ever drink. Like, is it, like, you know, objectively not good for us? Yes. But, like, does the moderation element that you just shared, like, if you moderate it properly, if you plan, and if you're not just, like – going batshit crazy, like, can it still fit into a healthy lifestyle? Absolutely. So I think it is interesting to hear, like, your perspective on it too. I also do think, like, going a period of time without alcohol is just, like, a 100%. Valuable exercise for anyone to go through, because I know it made totally me agree. Like reevaluate. It's not like I've never, like, I haven't really been a huge drinker since college anyway, but definitely made me reevaluate, like, how much I wanted to drink. Do you really need a drink to have fun? Which, like, I think most times, like, I mean, likely we're both outgoing humans, like, the answer is no. But I think it also does, I personally, like, and this is still what I kind of grapple with when I'm like, do I just not drink again, do I just do it but, like, intermittently, is like, I have to say I did it to see, like, would my sleep improve, would my mood improve, all this other stuff. I didn't drink for 100 days over last holidays and beyond, and I actually noticed, like, no difference,
really,
which was interesting, a little disappointing, because I kind of hoped it would be like the panacea. Like, I cut out, I don't know, I just don't think I was drinking enough to start with. And maybe if I was, like, I don't know, still in my sophomore year of college, like, cutting out alcohol probably would have changed my life.
Yeah, for all of us.
But yeah, so no, it's interesting to, like, think about. I think your point earlier really stood out to me of the fact that you're so intentional with planning. And, like, you don't just kind of get swayed into, and I think it's probably speaks to why you're able to complete these endurance events, right? Like, you're not just someone that says, like, oh, if someone tells me, like, I don't know, like, if this idea comes up or this event comes up, like, I'm just going to do it. I'm not going to think about, like, my goals and my long-term goals and my vision. You're like, no, I have a plan. I know what I need to achieve. And, like, this is how I'm going to make it so it still fits in.
Yeah, 100%. I think that goes back to, like, being realistic and balanced about the situation, like the sustainability aspect, because I feel like for a lot of people and even myself in the past, I've been like I said, I'm gonna quit cold turkey, but then that situation comes up and you're like, oh wait, this would be like a perfect opportunity just to have a couple of drinks with friends and like really bond. And then now you haven't planned for that, like your plan of just going cold turkey, which I mean, you can always just be non-negotiable, and I've done that before, like you said, and I think that's really valuable to go, like, you know, 2 months at least without drinking and understand how you feel about drinking after that and reflect on your relationship to alcohol. But then once you're trying to bring that back into a sustainable kind of behavior pattern, I think that having like a little bit of thought beforehand goes really far to make sure, one, that you don't drink too much. But another big thing is I would experience guilt when I was drinking and I was out, because it just like felt like, oh, I shouldn't be doing this. Like, I know this is bad for me. Like, I know I have to train whatever day. Yeah, I relate to that. But then if I have a plan and I'm like, okay, I'm drinking now, but I know I didn't drink X days before because that was part of my plan. And I know I'm not going to drink like next week, because that's part of my plan. So I could just like enjoy this now and not have to feel this background kind of guilt. And I think that that's something that is really liberating.
Yeah, I've heard people talk about a similar idea with even like work or mm-hmm. just anything, like being super, again, it all comes back to the plan, like being intentional about not just like, it's even like feeling, it's like feeling guilty. Like if you're, I don't know, trying to enjoy time with your family or your friends after work and you're like, oh, like I'm thinking about all the things that I do during the work day because you didn't plan to like, okay, I know that I'm, if I get, you know, these 10 things done, then I'm going to fully sign off and be fully present. It sounds like it's almost a little bit like that, where it's like, if you're always operating in this middle zone of, you know, especially at your stage of life, where like, I know I want to have fun, I want to be social, but like, I feel this guilt for drinking because I didn't plan for it. I know I'm going to feel like absolute crap tomorrow. I'm not going to be able to go on my run, whatever. Like, versus just having some intentionality, bringing something like an Alkalite, can, it sounds like, has really changed the game for you.
Yeah, 100%. I think that is really the key, is to, if you're having issues like internally balancing, you know, your social life and going out and having fun with your goals and health and fitness, I think just building some intentionality and structure behind it, I think it's easy to kind of try to ignore it, because like, you know, people during the week say like, I'm never going to drink again, and then the weekend comes around and they're drinking again, so they're not, they kind of like just flip between the extremes instead of trying to go in the middle and be like, okay, this month I'm gonna drink these days, or like I'm gonna have this day where I can drink this much, and then the rest of the month I'm gonna have like two or three days where I just have a couple drinks. And then you just stick to that plan, and you can feel good about how, you know, that affects your body, and you know that's not gonna really throw you off track. And you know, you've put some pre-thought into it, so when you're in the moment, you're not just sitting there like, ah, man, I shouldn't be drinking right now. Like, have those background thoughts that kind of ruin the fun in the first place.
For sure. Yeah, and so as we wrap up here, kind of like more on a quick fire style, first, like, what are like the absolute non-negotiables for when you have a night where, you know, or day where, you know, alcohol is going to be included?
Yeah, I would say the non-negotiables are eating well, like ideally the days prior. But if I go into an alcohol fueled day and I'm already kind of stressed from like a somewhat fasted state, I feel like the stresses add up really quickly, and there's science to support that, because alcohol basically just increases stress in your body and can increase your baseline stress. So I think more than just eating well, just before drinking, making sure you're at a state where your body feels like generally pretty resilient to stress and healthy, is kind of, you know, there's a lot that goes into that, but I would say just in the fire style question spirit, I'll just leave it at that.
All right, drink a choice.
I would say tequila soda Alkalite, but I feel like that's a cop out. So that's going to go number one. And then I'll give you number two. I would say old fashioned.
All right. Mm-hmm. And then favorite like training style or ideal day, if maybe even if you're not training for a race, like what's your ideal workout look like?
That's a beautiful question. I would say I'm going to, I mean, I love all forms of training, so I'm going to adapt it a little bit to like the form of training that's changed my life the most, if that's, does that work?
Sure, okay. Go for it.
I think zone two training has, I've felt the most effects on like my energy, mood, just like overall health, is when I'm really like doing a lot of zone two, low heart rate training, and like increasing my aerobic system. It's sometimes when I'm deep in that, like days just feel like I have like unlimited energy, which is really cool. So
I need to pick your brain on this after. I was just having a conversation with a friend how we realized we were doing pretty much zero zone two in a week, but yeah, I'll take that offline.
Yeah.
Okay, wrapping up here, because I know we're almost at time. Where can everyone find you? Where can they find Alkalite and experience it for themselves?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find us at Drink Alkalite on Instagram, Drink Alkalite on TikTok, and then drinkalkalite.com. So
and you're direct to consumer, they can order directly from the website?
Yep, and we'll be on Amazon in about a week. So I guess when this drops, we'll be on Amazon too.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, Sean. It was so great catching up and hearing all things hangover prevention, Alkalite, and more, and excited to continue following along with the team. Absolutely. And the journey this year.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's been a blast, and I really appreciate the time.
Cheers.